you are, SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, when you hear the term redistricting, many of us may have little idea what it means, what it's about. But what we should know is that it is important. It is the redrawing of the political map locally, statewide, nationally. In short, it does, again, it does impact us all, and it's happening as we speak. Tonight, we'll discuss what redistricting means and its impact. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you, your questions, your concerns. Joining us tonight to talk about this very, very important issue is Dr. Robbie Perry. He's the chairperson of the Department of Political Science at Howard University, and Judge Alexander Williams, former co-chair of Maryland's Citizens Redistricting Commission. Again, the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Judge Williams, I'm going to start with you. For folks who don't know what redistricting is, how would you define it?
Well, thanks for having me today. Essentially, redistricting is the process of drawing legislative district boundaries. And they take place every 10 years, and it has to be equality in the districts. And just a number of things happen which affect voting and affect who represents us, and how these important issues that affect us are going to be decided.
And Dr. Perry, Judge Williams has kind of sort of given us the short course of it, and so we know it's important. Do most folks know how important it is, and how would you express to those out there the importance of redistricting?
Well, yes, and great to be with you, of course, again, and to the judge as well. This is one of the oldest provisions that we've had since 1789, the ratification of the United States Constitution has required us to conduct a census every 10 years. And we have done so every 10 years since then. And that means that when we have an opportunity to count our populations, every jurisdiction thereafter that count, that happens every 10 years, is then subject to change its boundaries. And those boundaries are ultimately decided at the state level by state elected representatives or delegates and state senators, not United States senators. And here in the District of Columbia, of course, because we are not a state yet, hopefully, it is done via our city municipal council. And so the challenge here is that most people are not taught about the representation requirement in the United States Constitution, you know, unless you take an introduction to American politics class or unless you're in AP government in high school. Other than that, you likely don't necessarily know the importance of this, and it comes down to counting. It doesn't matter if you live in a rural area, a big city, a small town, a majority white place, a black place, or a pluralistic place. That doesn't matter. What matters is if you're not is whether you're counted. If you aren't counted, then you can't be considered as a relevant population for the jurisdiction or the boundaries within which you may live, and the boundaries will be affected accordingly. So it's something that matters to every single American, and it's something that affects every single American state, district, and territory.
Judge Williams, is this one of the reasons why it's so important for folks to know about their local elections, especially on the state level? Because I think if you did a civics test and asked most folks who their state representative was, who their state senator was, I'm going to guess most folks don't know. But as Dr. Perry has said, at the state level is where these maps are drawn. So how do you create more sort of enthusiasm for these elections on the state level so folks know the impact of them when we get to these moments now where maps are being redrawn?
Sure, and I certainly agree with Dr. Perry and everything that he has already stated. But people don't seem to understand that real power and the decision-making is not so much down on the hill with the president, but it's on the state and local level. That's where real power is. That's where the decisions that affect us more so happen. And too many of us are complacent. We just sit back. We're comfortable with our homes, our cars, our jobs, and we don't look at what's happening around us. And if you ask the average citizen in this country, who is your state senator? Who is your state delegate? Who's your school board rep? Who's your city or your council rep? Most of them would say, I don't know. I had to think about that. And that's why this thing has gotten so bad, and we're just not paying attention to the critical issues that we have to.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about redistricting, which is redrawing the maps where you live, determines politically what that may mean, who your representative may be, who may serve in Congress. And we're getting into the nitty-gritty of redistricting because it's happening all across the nation and is happening in our region as we speak. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Judge Williams, what is gerrymandering?
Gerrymandering is essentially it's arranging and drawing maps to achieve political advantage by the party basically that's in power. They want to maintain that power, and they draw the lines in certain fashion to make sure that the opposing party doesn't have the political power. And it happens in two different ways. One is packing, and the other is cracking. And essentially, packing is used when voters are compressed in a small number of districts, and they're not spread out where they can have more influence and affect more districts. And, of course, cracking splits groups of voters, whether you're a Democrat or a Republic, so that you don't have the influence to get representation the way you want it. And this concept of packing and cracking are the same no-nos that happen whenever you're talking about minorities and the Voters' Rights Act. But it also applies in gerrymandering, which really is a problem in this country. And the Supreme Court has refused to take these cases and give any guidance to the states as to what is appropriate and what's not appropriate. That's the problem. And for the people listening right now, they see this toxic, very contentious environment down on the Hill. And that's because everybody's gearing up for power. The Democrats want power. The Republicans want power. And they go back to the states to make sure that the lines are gerrymandered and changed so that their particular party can stay in power. That's what it is.
Dr. Perry, what can you tell us about how this issue of redistricting or packing affects communities of color, and especially African-American communities? Does it tend to benefit or hurt generally in what you've seen?
Well, as the judge said, what the number one lesson here, and he said it multiple times, is power, 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 power. And that's what really needs to be hit home with folks. It doesn't matter whether you're black or not, but particularly if you are black, and particularly if you're black and underclass, so to speak, marginalized, have multiple identities of which are all marginalized, you know, you are far more likely to need to see a change in the representational structure of your elected officials in your area or perhaps even nationwide, and redistricting is the way that happens. It's all about power. So whether it's packing or cracking, the fact of the matter is that it varies based on locale. And it varies based on the state and the region we're talking about that's being reapportioned. And so essentially, if you are in, you know, in certain areas like, you know, dense urban areas, then you may want to see more compactly drawn districts that put most people who live next to each other in the same district They live maybe a mile or so away, but they all live close. Whereas you live in a more rural area, you might find that there is better symmetry or complementary values with folks maybe in a whole other county next door. And so it will vary based on your geographic location, but also, frankly, you know, whether it's packing or cracking, Black communities can benefit in either way. It depends on the motives of the politicians, again, usually at the state level, who are executing the process post the decennial census every 10 years, where we redraw our population, and based on that, reapportion our congressional district lines. This is the way it's been done for the most part since the last 100 years, where we have decided to elect our members of the U.S. Senate via direct election, and of course members of the House of Representatives. And we think of Congress districts mainly, but again, in places like D.C., you know, this redistricting impacts your local city council as well. Typically, because African Americans tend to align themselves 90% or so with the Democratic Party, we tend to find that states with those party, with that party leadership and control at the state level, tend to produce the kinds of districts that maximize the number of Black people both in district and across districts to ensure maximum Democratic power. Political power and control that often turns into Black power and control.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about redistricting tonight. Let's go to the phone lines now. Angela is calling from the district. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, thank you for allowing me to speak this evening. What I wanted to say is that the process of redistricting and even the process of us doing our planning documents for our entitlement funding that comes from HUD, the process has been made complex for the average citizen, especially low wealth and people who buy affordable housing, if there's any more affordable housing left. But what bothers me the most is that we have a Dr. Perry on the line. And we have another person by the name of Judge. I forgot the name. Forgot his name.
Williams.
But there's nobody out in our community informing and doing some type of consistent outreach. I know Dr. Perry is very familiar probably with Professor Dorn McGrath from George Washington University. Oh. I had his graduate class. In 1986.
Angela, I want you to sort of drill down just a little bit and sort of give me a summation of your point so I can let Dr. Perry and Judge Williams sort of address your main point.
Okay. For the judge, I think the process in which the district is conducting this hearing is unconstitutional, especially for those who are not empowered to understand what the real process is and what the real impact is. For Dr. Perry, I challenge him and the students, especially your planning department of Howard University, to come out in our communities and reach out and empower the residents with information about this process. Not only does it do...
Okay, Angela, I got it, just because we have some other calls. I think we've got your point there. And I'll let Dr. Perry and Judge Williams address that. Judge Williams, is there what can be done for outreach? Because I think that's really what Angela is getting at.
Yeah, I like what the caller was saying, that there has to be a better process where more people can be brought in and informed as to what's going on. I was co-chair of the Maryland Citizens Redistricting Commission, and we had a good number of people participating, but we needed more. And I agree with the caller that we've got to reach out and go into the communities and to the schools and other kinds of civic associations and let people clearly know what redistricting is, and then urge them even on a more powerful level, to get involved, to testify, to come to the hearings and express their views. We did some of that, and we got some good callers that came in, but it's not enough. So I agree with the caller that we've got to do a better job of informing citizens and enlightening them and giving them more enthusiasm and passion so they can get involved.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, and that includes you, Anthony, stay right there. We're going to get to you. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we are talking about redistricting. What does it mean? What is its impact? What we should know about it? The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Perry, right now in Maryland, they're trying to get their redistricting plan through. It's gone to the courts. It's been knocked back, then thrown back to them. In New York, a judge has just ordered the New York democratically controlled legislature to quickly withdraw their state's congressional and legislative districts, finding that they were unconstitutional. So you're seeing this in states like, you know, here in Maryland, in New York. I think that happened in Ohio, in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, where they found Republican-leaning districts were being gerrymandered and unconstitutional. So I'm going to get back to maybe one of your original points. Is this something that's just kind of the norm once we get in this process, that they go to the courts, one party may challenge, the courts may dump it back, say, okay, wait a minute, we see gerrymandering here, redo it. Is this also part of the normal process that we're seeing now?
Well, it is part of the normal process. But I will say that some of the, and why is it part of the normal process? It's part of the normal process because the process is a partisan process.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, it's normal. But I will say that some of the states you mentioned are actually have some abnormal scenarios. In Florida, with a Republican governor and a Republican-led legislature, the governor has vetoed the Republican-led legislature's recommendations, because the Republican legislature in Florida still recommended to maintain two black districts that the governor of Florida, GOP, of course, looking to run for president, Governor DeSantis, didn't want to retain that at all. So he actually vetoed his fellow Republicans' recommendations. You see in North New Hampshire a similar scenario. You have a state that is a bellwether state, a key state, of course, in presidential primaries, and they are having to go back to the drawing board. My home state of Ohio that you mentioned, they actually passed a law to require a legislative redistricting process that was bipartisan. And unfortunately, the legislators themselves have not agreed to follow that process, has led to the court, the GOP dominated court in terms of the governors that appointed them to that position, and how they were elected in Ohio. And those Supreme Court members even struck down also a Republican-led map there, and they are back at the drawing board. But now a new map was drawn by the independent body, and all Republicans are against it there in Ohio. And so you have partisan politics, the traditional, you know, Democrat versus Republican, but there are a couple scenarios where some extreme elements of Republicans don't even want to accept the more moderate solutions that are tried because of the effort to try to build more equity in this process. Everyone knows that gerrymandering happens. Everyone knows that both parties deal with it. Everyone knows that both parties deal with it to the extent that they can get away with it. That's not unusual because, as the judge was saying a few moments ago, it's about power. It's all about power. Every party wants more power and every person in power wants to retain power. So for those of us who are trying to seek that power, and in other words, you have to go grab it from someone else, it's hard to do so if you aren't even at least counted in the population to begin with.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our topic tonight is redistricting, the political implications, the societal implications of it. Our guest, Dr. Ravi Perry, chair of the Department of Political Science at Howard University, and Judge Alexander Williams, former co-chair of Maryland Citizens Redistricting Commission. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Do you have questions about redistricting, what it is, how it impacts you, comments about what you think should be done, how it should be handled? Phone lines are open. Let's go back to the phone lines. Anthony is calling from Northeast D.C. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Good evening, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Well, I'm a black conservative. But I'm living here in D.C. all my life. Even though District of Columbia does not have no voting right power, I was just thinking, you know, if Winsome Sears, the lieutenant governor, could you imagine her being the mayor of Washington, D.C., how she and Glenn Youngkin use critical race theory to win the Virginia race? And she didn't have to debate. And my question is, how can, you know, if Glenn Youngkin and Winsome Sears could get away with this, then what's going to happen to the next election? And I'll hang up and I'll, thank you, gentlemen, I'll hang up.
Okay, thank you so much, Anthony. I'm not real sure kind of where that fits into our conversation about redistricting, but I'll throw that out there, Judge Williams or Dr. Perry, if you see somewhere where you can connect the two topics.
Yeah. Well, I think you can connect the two topics.
Okay.
Ultimately, what you have in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the caller is correct. You had an election that was won in part because of the black woman lieutenant governor. And the white male Republican teamed up against black interests on a wedge issue known as critical race theory, which makes the issue that does not exist, that claims that folks don't want, you know, racial things taught in their schools. Well, guess who decides who those school representatives are, who serve on the board of many school districts? It's governors. And governors, of course, have to work with state legislatures to, in fact, get these redistricting lines passed and to the point where they're approved by a Supreme Court. So it all goes back to the points earlier made by the judge and other callers, the importance of local and state governance. So while the specific question of whether or not someone like a conservative Winsome Sears, the lieutenant governor of Virginia, would be able to, like, survive here in D.C., I think we don't have the statistics to support a conservative at-large candidate for any of our current positions, mayor, AG, head of the school board, et cetera. But I do think that you'll be able to find parallels where in these races that are nonpartisan, you do tend to find, like the State Board of Education race is here in the District of Columbia, you do tend to find that different kinds of people are more likely to participate. And that's the challenge that we see with redistricting, where partisanship has been taken out of it, where those states that have, in fact, chosen to adopt an independent commission, they have been more effective, certainly at least of getting public support for their initiatives, as opposed to one party or another deciding what they want.
Judge Williams, talk to me about the independent commissions. In Prince George's County, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there was an independent commission that presented a plan on redrawing the local district lines, and the council ended up really ignoring that plan and coming up with its own plan, and then that went back and forth into court. So it would seem on its face that would be what you would want, an independent commission to try to take out the partisanship But then if a local legislative body doesn't really have to follow that independent commission, what's the point of the independent commission? So can you speak to these independent commissions and the value of them? Judge Williams, are you still there? Okay, we might have lost Judge Williams for the moment. Dr. Perry, can you address that question regarding independent commissions?
Yes, I mean, it's an option that voters have. So right now, most states, your state constitutions do not likely support the U.S. Constitution and allowing the majority of your state legislature to ultimately decide the vote. That's why if no other race, hopefully you participate in all elections, but if in no other election, you should certainly participate in the state election of state representatives, state delegates, state senators during the year in which we are redoing the census, because those people will be the ones drawing the lines. So the problem is we live in a hyper-partisan era now. Both sides of the aisle are choosing to lock in their heels, so to speak, and not really try to build competitive districts for candidates on both sides. And that leaves a room for voters to say, hey, I'm tired of this. I may be a Democrat, but I don't like Democrats trying to, you know, monopolize the seats either, and vice versa. If you're a Republican, you may say the same thing. And so in some states, Michigan, Ohio, some others, they have chosen to at least attempt the effort to pass a ballot initiative that will require an independent board to draw these lines. I think the state of California did the same thing. And it hasn't been perfect in every case. In some cases, those boards have been thrown out later. But in most cases, it's been shown to be a useful way to get through and cut through the partisanship that exists in Washington every day.
And Judge Williams, we had lost you for a moment, but I want to give you a chance.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yes, I can.
Yeah, I want to say something about the independent commission.
Sure.
I favor that, that should be in place. The problem is that ultimately the legislative body has control to either adopt it or overrule it or whatever, do their own plan. That's what happened in Prince George's County. You had a local redistricting commission, which made some recommendations in the map, but it was, again, overruled by the county council. And the same thing happened in Baltimore County, where they also, the legislative body there, overruled what the commission had done. And in my commission, I was with the Citizens Commission in Maryland, Redistricting Commission. We came up with maps, but ultimately that power rests with the General Assembly or the legislative bodies. And what has to happen is that there has to be a truly independent commissions with the power to make the final decision, and it shouldn't be subject to the reversal by the legislative body. And that's the problem right now. And historically in Maryland, the legislature has always had the power and discretion to set the lines, but this year, in Maryland, the governor came up with his executive order, which created the so-called independent citizens commission, which had three Democrats, three Republicans, and three independents. And we had our fights, but at the same time, we came up with a compromise.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. Our conversation tonight is focusing on redistricting, redrawing the maps, the political maps across the country and locally in the county or parish that you may live in. Our guest tonight, Dr. Robbie Perry, chair of the Department of Political Science at Howard University, and Judge Alexander Williams, former co-chair of Maryland's Citizens Redistricting Commission. Judge Williams, we talked about Prince George's County, and we've talked about really redistricting on the national level and on the state level. But when you get to really local, like counties, is that any different the way maps are redrawn? Are there different interests, or is it just the same but just on a sort of smaller scale?
Yeah, it's on a smaller scale, but the problem is the same, that you want fair and independent maps drawn by people who are not the political players that are affected.
And again, these issues are so important, you know, how to fix the economy, how to look at immigration and refugees, and how to deal, again, with this COVID and the virus and the pandemic, whether it should be in-person versus virtual teaching or mass versus no mass. All of these things are very, very important. And the citizens must understand that you want to get strong people in office that do not have any political bents, but will make decisions that will be fair and reasonable to all people. And that's all you want with these independent commissions that are drawing these lines.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back and get right back into this issue of redistricting, trying to educate ourselves on what it means, what it's about, and its impact, because it does have an impact. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Still some time to get in your question or comment. This is the Insight segment. We'll be right back after this timeout. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and tonight our focus is on redistricting. Dr. Perry, tell me about the 2020 census and the Trump administration's efforts on trying to reduce the counts of communities and people in the communities of color. Does that have an impact on the redistricting that we're seeing now and the redrawing of maps?
Oh, absolutely. Any black person who was ever convinced by anything you saw online, got in the mail, your cousin or your mama told you to not vote or to not fill out the census, all of that is what we call misinformation, disinformation, and you should reject it. It doesn't matter what the source is. It doesn't matter if it's from someone you love and trust. They may have been influenced by global efforts to keep in mind that first initiated and prolonged by Russia, just to put a name on the tragedy that we are watching every day right now of Russia and Ukraine. But it's the same people that the Europeans are fighting that want African American to not participate in voting in elections, and that worked behind the scenes and flagrantly in front of the scenes with prior Trump administration to ensure that fewer black people fill out the census. Why would you want fewer black people to fill out the census? Because, again, if you aren't counted, then you can't be represented. Remember, every black person knows the story of three-fifths, right? Mm-hmm. And we often mess the story up. We were not counted as three-fifths of a person. We were counted, those of us who were enslaved in slave states when the Constitution was drafted, even though the Constitution never talks about slavery explicitly, it does in many, many ways. What the slave states wanted was to be able to find a way to increase, again, their power, mm-hmm. where the judge kept using, to increase their power, representational power in Congress pre-Civil War. They wanted to count enslaved Africans for the purposes of that representational power, but not as human beings. And so it's the same way, fast forward 200 plus years today, if you have congressional districts that have a majority or many of the population, each district, by the way, has about 700,000 to 800,000 people, but much of that population comes from the prison, then it comes from a prison, particularly a state-run prison and not or a private-run prison, and that's mostly made up of black voters. So as you know, Ana DuVernay and others have made, Ava DuVernay and others have made in films like 13th and Netflix series like 14th, the Mend series, all those series go to show that blacks have been targeted for centuries in terms of trying to convince them not to maximize their own power. It's the old adage, you know, that if you can split the group up, then they will not be able to rise in harmony together. And to our detriment, we pay attention to those. And so I want to say, and I appreciate this, I want to emphasize this, is one of the biggest challenges of myths and disinformation today. You might be convinced by your friend, your neighbor, your cousin, your pastor to not do this in terms of your power, not do that in terms of your power. You should reject it. You should be voting in every election. I don't care who you vote for. Vote for your mama. But you should be participating, and you should fill out every census. You won't have a chance again to do it for another 9 years. But the census absolutely matters, because that is how we draw the lines that will tell us what Congress will be able to do for us for the next 10 years. And so if you've been upset, let's say, for example, you did not participate in the 2020 census because you were convinced by Trump and others that told you not to. Well, guess what's happening in November? The midterm elections. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like the outcome of midterm congressional elections, you really have lost all legitimacy in having an opinion, because you didn't bother to potentially, you know, be counted by filling out the census. And so politics is a long game. You got to be registered and you got to be counted in order for your power to even be exercised. And even then, as we all know, you still have to be aggressive and unified in order to have a shot at getting what you need as a minority from a system where, in black folks in this country, we're still only 13% of it.
Judge Williams, in our last 5 minutes, I want to talk a little bit about, and Dr. Perry had sort of already initiated this, but from a national standpoint, obviously the Democrats are trying to hold on to control of the House of Representatives, but those midterm elections will blink in November, will be here, and they'll be here. The conventional wisdom seems to be that it is trending towards Republicans, off-year elections. The party not in power in the White House usually will gain seats, and the Democrats are barely holding on to a majority. But when you look at some of these statistics, and I was looking at the 538 sort of report, and they were saying really that the Democrats should gain some of the, let me say, the districts should become bluer, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the Democrats will hold on to the House because things are leaning Republican. So I'm kind of giving a long-winded setup to say, what's your sense of where these midterm elections will go and the impact of redistricting, if they will have any, in November?
Yeah, it's of course speculation as to who's going to win. I think right now all over America you're seeing these contests. So what happens locally and around the country, it's the same thing. There's a big fight right now by Democrats and Republicans for power. And unfortunately, people are voting strictly on partisan lines. You see what happened last week in the Judge Jackson hearings, and the expected vote is probably going to be strictly on partisan lines again. So the idea of who wins in November is very, very critical. The challenge that we all have is that there's redistricting battles still taking place, and there's still a court challenges. We don't know what's going to happen with these court cases. We've got in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, in North Carolina, Florida, Maryland, New York, and they're outstanding. And the primaries in Maryland have been set back now, pushed back to July. And if the courts are not quite ready and they haven't finished the challenges, it may get pushed back to September. So everything is up in the air right now, and
what is the impact of that, Judge Williams? Just the fact that it's already been pushed to July. Let's just say they happen in July, on July 19th. What's the impact of them happening on the 19th? Is it minimal that it's been pushed to the 19th, or is there some fallout from that in terms of voters? Because usually folks start heading on vacation around that time.
Yeah, I think all of the above is going to take place. The more it pushes back, people lose interest, and it's just a dangerous thing. People have to stay on top of this, particularly down on the Hill, because the issues are...
Nope, I think we lost Judge Williams. We just got a couple of minutes left. Dr. Perry, I just want to get your final thoughts as we wrap this up in terms of redistricting and, again, how people should look at it, how they should think about it, and where they can go maybe to even learn more other than sitting in your classroom.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, certainly you can sign up for a class on state and local government at Howard or your local community colleges. You want in-depth analysis. If you are a resident of the District of Columbia, you can go to a website on redistricting. You can just Google D.C. redistricting. It should come up in the first page of results. There's an entire public website available that tells you what's happening in the district. Same thing exists for Maryland and Virginia. And I'd encourage people to just go to your smartphones, your computers, your tablets, and Google Virginia redistricting, Maryland redistricting, D.C. redistricting. You will see the commissions and the various nonprofit organizations that have drafted amicus briefs or that have drafted maps or what have you, and what some of the legislative processes have been. I will emphasize temporally that redistricting is over. In terms of the local participation of everyday citizens like us, we've done what we could do when we participated in the census or not. Now it's in the hands of our elected officials, who, again, we elected at the last local and state election cycle last November, where, of course, many members of local state legislatures were elected. And those are the ones now in a two-year term that are going to be in a position to draw these lines once courts iron out what is permissible. And so that's where you can find out more information about redistricting. But the real story here, I would say, is you want to learn about why it matters. It matters because of your power. And politics is all about power. That's what we do in politics. We study power. That's literally what politics is. We call it, it's who gets what.
And that's a great place where to end this conversation. He is Dr. Ravi Perry, chair of the Department of Political Science at Howard University. And we thank Judge Alexander Williams, former co-chair of Maryland Citizens Redistricting Commission. Great conversation. Thank you for all of your insights. That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Thursday, March 31st. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.